Last week, we talked about how Lebanon has banned screenings of the worldwide hit movie Wonder Woman because the star is Israeli and completed compulsory military service in that country. Well, that tidbit and the record-setting success of the film itself reminded me of a conversation we aired a full decade ago with Simcha Weinstein, the comic book rabbi. With the superhero genre set to take over the world this year, I thought it was the perfect opportunity to revisit that interview. In observing the amazing popularity of comic book heroes, it would be an act of super villainy to ignore the religious overtones that exist in almost every story of a superhuman crusader. Joining me right now is Rabbi Simcha Weinstein, who's been called the comic book rabbi. He's the author of the recent book, Up, Up, and Oy Vey, How Jewish History, Culture, and Values Shaped the Comic Book Superhero. Rabbi Simcha, welcome to State of Belief.
My pleasure to be on the show.
Now, the character of Superman, or at least his alter ego, Clark Kent, is portrayed as a Protestant Christian. So what are the Jewish roots of Superman?
The Jewish connection to Superman has been spoken about and written about many, many times. The author Michael Chabon famously wrote that only a Jew would think about a name like Clark Kent. Superman's creators, Jerry Siegel and Joseph Schuster, were both second-generation Jews, and I think they shaped their superhero with a particularly Jewish worldview. Comparisons have been made with the story of Moses. Moses sent away down the Nile, grows up in a foreign culture. He becomes the savior of humanity. It's a very similar story to Superman, who's sent away from Krypton as a baby in a little rocket ship. He grows up in a foreign culture, foreign land, and he becomes the savior of humanity. Superman's name on Krypton is Kal-El. It's Hebrew. It means the vessel of God or the voice of God. And it also mirrors the situation for many real-life Jews back in the late 30s when Superman first came out. The life for Jews in the old country in Germany was literally imploding. Many Jewish children were sent away on the kinder transports to grow up in safety with families in England. The Jewish connection, was it conscious? Was it subconscious? Clearly, Jews are not superheroes, and superheroes are not Jews, but I think they tapped into their own tradition when creating this wonderful archetypal character.
Rabbi Simcha, why have so many of the superheroes sprung from the creative minds of Jewish people?
The answer is actually very simple, and it's very poignant. In the late 30s, it was a very anti-Semitic time in American history. Many Jews were barred from Ivy League schools, country clubs. Even entire neighborhoods had a quota on the number of Jews allowed. Jews that had serious artistic aspirations were barred from many industries. The comic book was in its infancy. It was the lowest rung on the ladder of artistic integrity, and it was a very easy industry for Jews to get into and to progress within. It's also, I think, a metaphor for the Jewish experience in America. You have many second-generation Jewish immigrants who are writing and drawing superhero characters that have double identities. They have their superhero identity, and then they have their masked secular identity, which mirrors the real-life situation for Jewish immigrants who change their names and try to fit into the all-American melting pot.
Though these characters, in many instances, came out of the creative minds of Jewish people, few of the characters are openly Jewish in the comic books. The Thing from the Fantastic Four has a Jewish background. Is there a reason these Jewish writers didn't create these characters to be more Jewish?
Yes, I think it actually fits in with the premise of my book, Up, Up, and Oy Vey, in the sense that these writers and these illustrators were trying to assimilate into American culture and American ideology. So it makes sense that their creations would also be wish fulfillment of their own aspirations, which they portray. They're extremely all-American. However, it's not really American. What it is it's the American fantasy of the Jewish immigrant. However, the fantasy was such a beautiful, all-encompassing and powerful fantasy that real-life Americans have adopted these symbols as their own.
Now, my assumption is that you didn't learn all of this in rabbinical school. So what sparked your interest in this subject?
I'm the rabbi of Pratt Institute, a very well-established art school. When I first became rabbi, you know, I came onto campus, I spoke to students about the traditional Jewish laws. We spoke about the Sabbath. We spoke about kosher. We spoke about the holidays. And the student said, hey, Rabbi, you know, you're a cool guy. We like you. But this stuff, it's not a part of our life. It's just not something that we want to implement. So then I realized, hey, I went to art school. I have a background in the arts. I started talking about Batman and Superman and Spider-Man. Suddenly the students were excited. And it was a message that I could give over in a medium which they could understand.
Now, one last question, and it's not profound, but tell me about your Superman cufflinks that you're wearing.
These cufflinks were actually a present from my neighbor, Eric. We thank you. And just to end off with a superhero theme, Spider-Man has always been my favorite superhero because Spider-Man has this very Jewish dichotomy. On the one hand, he can fly through Manhattan and save the whole world. On the other hand, he's a neb, he's neurotic, he can't get a job, can't get a girlfriend, he struggles. And as a Jew, I think that's something all of us can relate to. He's been called Seinfeld with webbing.
Now, I can't leave it at that. So what character in Torah is Spider-Man most like?
Well, Stan Lee himself told me that he compares him to David. There's a famous story of King David in his adolescence. He actually is being attacked. He escapes into a cave, and a spider climbs over the cave, spins a web, and is able to conceal David and saves his life. So this is that's coming from Stan Lee himself. Personally, I think he's more of a Woody Allen, Jewish, neurotic, nebbish character who has this sort of a biblical tradition and mystical spark inside of him to do good and save the world.
Rabbi Simcha Weinstein, it's been a delight having you on. Thanks for joining us on State of Belief.
Anytime. The pleasure is all mine.
From the summer of 2007, that's Rabbi Simcha Weinstein. He had just released his book on the Jewish roots of the American comic book hero titled Up, Up, and Oy Vey. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, I want to say a sincere thank you. If you've heard something on this week's show that you think would be helpful to someone you know, please share it with them. Direct them to stateofbelief.com, where they'll find full episodes, an in-depth archive, extended interviews, transcripts, and links mentioned in the show. The community that has grown around State of Belief Radio is active all week long online. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and engage in the discussion. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. Be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound?